So we've been working through prophecy the last couple of weeks and talking, and today I really feel like we just need to continue on and get to some practical activation for prophecy. And one of the things I want to communicate to you guys is we're developing a prophetic culture here. Let me say prophetic culture. So a prophetic culture is different than just being able to have a bunch of people that can operate in the gift of prophecy, right? Because culture is what governs the way family operates, or the way a nation operates, or a way that a group of people operate. Would you agree with that? Like, we've got our core values that determine and dictate what is it going to look like. And so you can have somebody who's gifted, but yet is not a part of that culture, and it can be out of context, and it actually can bring potential discord or unhealth. And so one of the things we've been doing over the last several years is really working hard to establish our culture here that is a prophetic culture, which it means this, is that if we believe that every person that is born again has the Spirit of Christ living inside of them, that's biblical, right? Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says that the gift of the Holy Spirit come because the Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts. He gives you gifts. And so that the gifts of the Spirit are not relegated to a select few, but everyone who is born again. So prophecy really is for everyone. And therefore, it really does require a culture that can really handle a diversity of people, backgrounds, situations, understandings, to be able to operate in that place. Because we don't have just a bunch of clones, and we don't have just a bunch of people who came from one particular background. And I really do understand the power of a lot of times denominations who have a singular history where you can really kind of understand in that denominational background, you know what to expect. But we really do believe, because we are non-denominational, and really to a certain extent we're interdenominational because we're a kingdom church. That means you have different people coming in different backgrounds. So establishing this prophetic culture is so important. So like on Sunday mornings, to give you a good example, one of my good brothers in here, I know his heart well. He's part of our life group. And on Sunday mornings, I watch him, and I'm not going to point him out, but I watch him operate in a prophetic manner that goes and encourages and builds up people. And every single time I see somebody walked away, I see them built up, like they're encouraged, they're strengthened, they're comforted in a great way. And that's because there's an understanding of the culture that we have here where it gives some flexibility and freedom in order to, it's not just during like the second Sunday of the month, that's when we're doing prophetic ministry time. Like, we're making room for that so it can happen in a large corporate manner before everybody, but it should be something that happens in life groups. It should be something that's happening in the hallway, our greeters, right, our parking lot, our children's ministry, right, at every different place. Prophetic culture would mean that we're all a prophetic people who are hearing from the Lord, and we're building up, we're encouraging each other, we're strengthening each other, we're comforting each other. Okay. And so what that looks like, though, is that early on, because you're establishing some foundational things, it may mean that you get some more fluffy words. Do you know what I mean by fluffy words? Like who in here doesn't like fluff? Like, you just want get to the point of the matter, right? I don't need just a bunch of color stuff. I just want to get right down to the matter, right? And so sometimes in prophetic ministry, especially in I would say even some religious cultures and stuff like that, we know the lingo to utilize, right, that makes me sound much more prophetic, right, because I'm shum, I'm kind of getting myself revved up, right, you know, and thus the Lord is saying, like, I've got some lingo, and it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's on those words at all. It doesn't mean they're bad words. It just may mean, and remember we gave you this example of, imagine as I'm speaking, and if you saw like a transcription of my words going up on the screen behind me, okay? And I'm just talking, and it's the words that I use, you see them up in red. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon the words, and you see those red words automatically transformed into blue. And the second the blue enters onto the words, you recognize and realize the Spirit inside of you begins to recognize there's God speaking. Like, there's an anointing on the words. God is breathing through, God's moving upon that. Okay, and so the reason I wanted to start with that tonight is that because we've got a variety of backgrounds, if you're just now learning on how to really discern the voice of the Lord and hear Him speak in your life, don't feel like you have to put the pedal to the metal and accelerate like super fast to where like you're really proficient in hearing God speak and be able to deliver words like Chuck and Muzz did a few weeks ago, right? Or like Cindy and a few of the ladies did. Like that's something. You might be in process and it's going to be okay. And that some of the stuff that you initially hear from God speaking, you're learning to see. Does he give me pictures, like a visual of a red sparrow? Well, I don't know. Are sparrows normally red? I don't think they are. But why would a red sparrow? That could be a fluffy word, right? Or it could be God pinpointing something inside of me. And so I begin to press into it. What does that mean? Holy Spirit, how are you speaking? What does that look like, right? I begin to, as a conversation starter, push into what God is saying. And a lot of times, that's why the gift of discernment is so necessary. The gift of discernment is discerning between spirits so I can know whether it's God speaking or it's not God. Like, remember the sources that can be speaking. It can be Holy Spirit. It can be an angel. Like, so Gabriel was one of God's favorite, you know, especially in the New Testament, angels that was sent to bring a message to God's people, right? It could be the devil. It could be a demonic influence or force. Or it can be soul. Let me hear you say soul. So soul originates within me. And so a lot of times I would tell you even soul can be this. Soul could be like fear of failure. Or you had an experience from the past and like, you know, they're asking me to walk up in front. What is people going to think about me? Is my shoes right? My hair's right? Do I have something on my tooth? I can't do this because they're going to think I'm weird. Right? That's not the devil necessarily speaking to you. That might be the soul, right? A fear that's rising up inside of you. So that can be a source. You have to discern the source out as we're moving forward. As you're learning these things, that's why in a group like this, it's important for us to practice. And I think it was Chris Vallotton said it this way. There's a difference between an R&D, research and development department in a company, and product delivery, right? Two big differences. In product delivery, when I get my iPhone from the store, I expect that Apple is not still working out all the design stuff in the phone. I would have expected in the research and development. Now, I understand that there's still stuff that hits the markets that don't have defects, right? You got to work out the kinks. But the point of the matter is, by the time it hits delivery, it should work consistently 100% of the time, right? Like 100 phones come to the store, I should expect 100 of those probably are going to be working. They're not in the middle of the research and development side of things. But in the research and development side, if my goal is it works 100% of the time, then what are we going to do? We're always going to stay what is safe and what is known, and we'll never push the boundaries or the limits of what known knowledge is. Well, what's prophecy? What's words of knowledge? Things that you don't know unless God shows it to you. So it can't be just what's here in my head, right? I'm pushing into a spiritual realm because the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals all truth. The moment I stop trying to listen to God, I've actually cut myself off from getting any new revelation. Because it says there's nothing new under the sun. What does that mean? There's no thoughts that man has never thought about before. Like at one point in one time in history, all that's all gone through on human knowledge is understood, right? But we need a revelation. What's a revelation? Knowledge that has not yet been known in the sun or under the sun or in the earth. And so he leads you into all truth. So I'm engaging with this thing. So sometimes in a group like this, what are we doing? To a great extent, it's research and development. We are going to celebrate failure every bit as much as we celebrate success. Now, when I say celebrate failure, can we all agree? I'm not talking about moral failing. Okay, like let's just get that out the window really, really quick, all right? We're not talking about character. What we're talking about is, all right, it's a time for pursue the spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy, or a word of knowledge. Okay, and like next week we're going to talk about words of knowledge. What we're going to really dive into, and you could even do it tonight if you want to during the activation, but it may be, all right, I want to figure out what Emily's birthday is. I don't know what it is. So Holy Spirit, I need a word of knowledge. What's a word of knowledge? It's going to ground somebody in a current situation where they go, oh, God's speaking. After that, the prophetic word would come, right? But it's a sign that grounds it. And so I'm thinking right now, okay, August 23rd, I'm going to get myself in trouble if I'm not careful here. 1988. Yeah. No. Am I anywhere close? Okay, so here's the point. I was really asking the Holy Spirit, did I get it right? No. Even if I'm close on saying ballpark, yay, Jesus, okay? But here's what we would want to do. I took a risk. I don't mind getting it wrong in front of you guys. Like, I've got it, I'll have all perfect, because we're research and development right now, okay? I'm pressing. I'm trying to attune my ears. Now, think about this for a second. Right now, there are radio waves that are going through this building that you can't hear. Is that correct? Right? There's AM stations, there's FM stations, there's the frequency of cell phones, there's the Wi-Fi network, what's going on. All of them are, there's signals that are going through. What do you have to do? You have to have a receiver that turns into the channel. Now, I grew up in an age where I still remember the analog TVs, right? And I remember specifically a black and white TV on the top channel. Top one, you would tune it into one thing, and in the bottom one, you kind of had to mess with it, and it would, the channel would come in and out, kind of be fuzzy, right? Or in my pickup truck, it was not digital, too. It was like, so you had to have the tuner, and you're trying to get that station. And like growing up, I was a country boy, so listening to like Y100 or something, you know, and so it'd be, or 97.7, I think it was KJ97. And because it wasn't digital, you're kind of looking at this little knob that's going back and forth, and what do? All right, oh, it's almost there, it's almost there. It might be 97.669, right? And it's a little fuzzy. And then finally you hit that, and you're like, oh, it was there, and I turn it back. What am I doing? I'm attuning my ears. I'm tuning the receiver to hear and receive the signals that are going on, okay? So in the same way, what I'm doing, I'm asking for knowledge. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think God cares that he knows that you, oh, let me try this. Does God care for you to know he loves you? Okay. Do you think he would use even small little ways to communicate to you that he's talking to you right now? Okay. So somebody might say, well, is asking for a birthday, is that earth shattering or life changing? It could be for the person that says, God, do you really care? And all of a sudden somebody walks up and goes, hey, your birthday's today, isn't it? Well, how'd you know that? Well, God shares some stuff with me. Can I just tell you? And .. prophetic word comes out. And all of a sudden that person goes, God cares. It was not insignificant, is my point. Hearing God speak, God does not waste any words. So if he's saying something to you, even if it's a color, it's a birth date, or a weird, crazy picture, okay? If it's God saying, it's worthwhile hearing and receiving. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, on the flip side, remember, we talked about the different sources. You have to discern, is this God or is this not? That's important, because that's going to determine whether I'm going to receive what's going on. The further you grow in your spiritual walk, the further you grow around in these gifts, you're going to begin to mature and grow in confidence that, yeah, I'm hearing the voice of the Lord a lot more. And like now the way I hear God speak, I hear him so much more clearly with so much more information than I did when I first started to try to really zone in on the gifts of the Spirit 8 years ago. And I know that 8 months from now or 8 years from now, I'm going to hear him even better because I'm continuing in this journey, okay? It's the same thing for everyone in this place. So as we're pressing in, it's really important to understand that God cares that you hear his voice and there's nothing insignificant, okay? And I was listening to Sean Bolz, B-O-L-Z. Does anybody know who Sean Bolz is? If you don't, I encourage you to do it. In fact, I'm going to read you something out of his book called Translating God. And the subtitle is Hearing God's Voice for Yourself in the World Around You. And one thing that he was talking about is how important it is for us to move one step beyond discernment, meaning that as I engage with somebody or engage in an atmosphere, I might discern something wrong in the atmosphere or something wrong that's going on in somebody's life. And if I stop at that discernment, I will only be stopping at the conversation starter. Like, you know, like, hey, I discern that this is going on in your life. Yeah? Well, I just discerned it. Okay, is anybody built up by that? No. You just figure it out that there's a sign that something's going on there. What do I need? I need to continue to press into, so God, what are you saying about this situation? What are you saying about this person? How are you doing? So you, at a certain extent, as you press in, if you've ever heard that terminology of press into God, what you're doing is you're getting closer and saying, God, I really want to hear your heart or your voice for the person so well, and I want to know it. What is it? And God's not like, why are you crowding me? Like he wants you to hear his voice, right? So just know, when we do some of the activations, don't feel foolish if you get something that's like way out in left field and makes zero sense to you. And even the person, I can't tell you the number of times that I walk out and I take risks. Like the other day, it was like an epic fail, you know, like it was bad. And we were in a movie theater, we were watching Black Panther. And there had been this family that was in front of us getting the ticket, and I kept hearing this particular thing. I think it was knee and back. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do something in the movie theater. It's kind of weird. And so we're sitting in the previews, or before the previews. It's like all the commercials and junk like that. And the movie theater's on it, and I keep hearing knee and back. My God, I don't want to do this right now in the theater, okay? This guy's going to think I'm weird. He's up here with his family, and it's just weird. And he's like, you've been asking me to speak to you. Will you take a risk? And so I knew it was the Lord. And so I had no idea knee and back. So I just went off low-hanging fruit, which, well, the guy must have a knee injury or back injury. So I turn around and say, excuse me, sir. I said, this is going to sound really strange. I said, but when we are standing in line, you guys are ahead of us, and even we've been here. I said, I'm a Christian, and God, I believe God still speaks and reveals things to me, and I can't get it out of my mind. I kept hearing him say knee and back. Are you dealing with any knee or back issues, like pain, injury, stuff like that? And he's just kind of like, no. And I'm like, okay, so where do I go with this one? He kind of looks at me like, yeah, you're a little strange, dude. Like you're breaking bro code. Like, you know, like kind of like if you're in a theater and it's not packed and there's a seat, you know, you don't go and sit next to another guy, right? You're supposed to leave the seat in between, right? That's just bro code, you know, it's kind of weird. And I don't know why it's that way, but it is. And so this is what he's looking at me like, you've totally like made contact, and what are you doing here? And then I hear the Lord say, press in. Okay. And I just said, I feel like, I'm not going to give the word because it was a longer part of the word, but I just started to go with this. And I see the look on his face go like this. Like that. I mean, he's moving around. I'm like, I know this is landing. And I go, man, the Lord blesses you. And it had to do with some destiny stuff. The Lord's going to back you. You know, it's going to cause you to get, you've been on, and that's what it was. You've been on your knees. And you've been asking the Lord for something. And he wants you to know that it's time for you to stand up and he will back you. And there was more to the word than that. And he's just kind of looking at this stuff. And he didn't give me the affirmation like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. I've been thinking this. I've been praying for this. You're spot on. All I knew was I knew what the Spirit was saying. I knew I was supposed to do it. In obedience, I looked like a fool. Like the first part of it was an epic fail. And if I would have stopped at the epic fail, because I felt like a moron, I'm telling you right now. Okay, because here's the thing too. The theater's filling up and I've got people behind me over here. I got people on my side. I got people down. They've all turned because they've heard me say this. Hey, I think God speaks. Okay, so here's the weirdo. Like that's God speaking, right? Is he going to go crazy on us in the theater, right? And it was just like, okay, this is it. Now the next step though, I pressed in beyond that and I know it landed. And he just kind of did this. Didn't say another thing, thank you, anything like that. And I go, hey, just bless you. Enjoy the movie. I hear his wife behind me go, mm-hmm. I'm Tony. That's exactly right. His wife was right behind me. I heard that, mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, Jesus, you're going to do something with that. Here's the point. We must celebrate failure, okay? So as you're doing this, when we get into it, we do words of knowledge. We'll have an activation where you're going to do exactly that. Ask the Lord for their birth date, or a phone number, or something that's like real, real personal. And then we're going to ask, all right, so how many people got one or three right, right? And we'll clap. Then we're going to ask who completely failed in that, didn't get any of them right. And when the hands go up, because there will probably be hands, we're going to stand up and give you a standing ovation. You know why? Because you took a risk. Faith, right? Believing that God's speaking, I'm pressing in because the Lord knows that you're going to be willing to steward his heart really well, okay? And this is what I'm going to tell you too before we get into some more parts of this. That doesn't mean at that moment where you're not getting anything, you pull out religious terms to make it sound good or to sound like God, right? Don't change the tone of your voice. Like we were joking the other day about you get the preacher's cadence, like God, You know, like you don't have to change it. You don't have to start weird. If you don't talk like that normally, don't start sounding like Benny Hinn, okay? Or don't start saying like T.D. Jakes or anything else. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's weird, okay? That's religious, and that's you stirring something up that's not. Say what you hear. If it's it, then back out, and you're good, okay? Does that make sense? Are we all good? Yes? No? Okay. You kind of give me that look that the guy gave me in the theater for a second there, and I just want to make sure we're okay. So, let's just hit the gifts of the Spirit real quick. Because we're humans, we like to categorize things. So, when you hear about the nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's typically broken into three categories. So, the first category would be gifts or revelation. Gifts or revelation. Let me hear you say gifts or revelation. Okay, and within that is going to be words of wisdom. It's going to be words of knowledge, and it's going to be discerning of spirits. And I would say, too, this one, prophecy can come into this thing, but it's not specific, okay? The next one would be gifts of inspiration. Let me hear you say gifts of inspiration. And they're also called declarative gifts, okay? So prophecy, different kinds of tongues. We talked about this on Sunday, right? And then interpretation of tongues. In fact, I was talking to one guy on Monday night with the men's group, and he's saying, you know what? I've never spoken in tongues before, but there's been multiple times that somebody began to speak in tongues, and immediately something rose up inside of me, and I gave the translation for it. And he says, I had no idea where it came from other than him, right? But it landed spot on. So these are gifts of inspiration, declaration. And then finally, there's gifts of power. Let me say gifts of power. And in that list, you're going to see faith, gifts of healing, and the working of miracles, okay? So when we're looking at this thing, remember we've talked about it for several weeks that let love be your highest goal. I'm pursuing it, but I also must pursue and desire the special gifts that the Spirit gives, especially that you might prophesy. Now, let me give you a definition according to Sean Bolts, because I like the way he words things. One of the things that Sean talks about is they started a church a few years ago called Expression 58, and they knew they were called specifically to Hollywood and to minister to those in the entertainment industry, okay? And he knew, like, coming into this thing, you can't be fluffy with your words. You can't sound like a church crusade. It's going to have to be very targeted and personal and relevant in the language that's being used or something to somebody's daily life on that. And he said, in this process, we've learned how to transform our language a little bit. So I like the way that he identifies these gifts specifically. So the words of wisdom is one of the gifts we just talked about. Words of wisdom are a revelation on what to do with what is inside of us. Or it's a revelation to interpret and give strategy to our spiritual perspective, or even to other personal prophetic words. Getting words of wisdom is like having a coach or counselor explain what is going on in your heart or about your spiritual life or journey. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of divine purpose and counsel from the mind and the will of God. Okay? They're very important. So we're talking about wisdom. What it's coming through is it's the divine purpose or counsel from the mind and will of God. So when you're praying for things, and this is the same thing too, there's going to be people you're going to encounter that have been praying for things, and they've already received prophetic words. And they've got a journal, listing them down, that says, hey, this is what you're going to do in your life. They've got them down. Timing-wise, it just hasn't been fulfilled yet. And they're asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what now? What next? And the Lord's going to send you their way. And what's going to end up happening is you're not going to necessarily give them another prophetic word. He might move on you into a word of wisdom, which is going to take the prophetic words that they've already got, and it may even give them an ABC strategy, or it might bring it into alignment or clarity. It's going to give them wisdom. Remember what Solomon asked God for when he says, you can have anything, ask for anything, riches, long life, all these different things. And he says, give me a discerning heart or discerning mind, wisdom, so that I might lead this great people of yours, right? Because he recognized, I've got a nation to lead, and I'm a young man. How am I going to do this? I need wisdom on how to lead people. And so a lot of times when we're coming through this thing, you might get a word of wisdom that helps to somebody operate on, and it comes directly from the mind of God. Now, prophecy is the ability to know what is available or what is in the heart of God for the future. It is knowing what God wants to do or what he is developing someone or something to do. Let me hear you say developing. So this is important too, because sometimes you get a prophetic word and there's not a time attached to it. And we can say, well, this means it's going to happen tomorrow. It might be revealing what they're in the process of being developed towards, or a situation is being developed for. Okay, so it's so important for us. This is why it's important for us not to add a bunch of fluff to it, right? To make it, because you might muddy the waters, right? You just repeat, this is what I feel, this is what I sense God is saying, or what he's showing me, okay? I don't have to go into great interpretation unless I've got, I know this is interpretation, okay, of it. I just need to say what's being said, because in that there's a development process and it's going to connect with their spirit, the spirit of God inside of them, and it's going to begin to maybe be a key or a piece that unlocks the next level of their development. And so this is why this is important. It says, prophecy makes people feel what it might feel like in heaven, as if they have some of the hope that is in the eternity, that is in eternity. So in other words, remember, faith, hope, and love is in eternity. They're not fading, okay? And right now, in that prophetic word, it pours in hope as if I'm standing in eternity already, because in eternity, it's done, it's finished. Does that make sense? So as they can feel like the rest of their lives are important and worthy because they are eternal beings, and they matter to God on the most consequential levels. The gift of prophecy can be defined as a supernatural ability to speak the mind of God for the future by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy can include any and all of the revelatory gifts. Now remember, we just talked about that. Revelatory, talking about words of wisdom, talking about words of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. So in the prophetic word, the giving of a prophetic ministry time, it may include, and it usually does, one of those other gifts. Okay, because a word of knowledge is going to give me a connection with information that I couldn't get other than the Holy Spirit showing me this thing about them right there. Okay, or a discernment. Man, I'm discerning. I'm feeling like this is happening in your life, right? And so the net continuation of the flow of that is going to be, so here is maybe a word of wisdom. What do you do about that? Or here's what the Lord is saying about that. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's why you have to take these gifts and continue to flow in all of them, because they're going to be interconnected as you move in them. So it says, spirit, the prophecy can include any or all the revelatory gifts. Prophecy speaks to men for their encouragement, strengthening, and comfort. Now hear this part. Prophecy may also convince, instruct, direct, and predict the future. Now here's what I want to tell you. In a prophetic culture and community like this, okay, those type of words that are given are usually must be done in the course of relationship context, okay? Because in that, there's feedback. Let me ask you a question here. This is how this hit me. You're giving me a direction. I don't even know you, right? There may not be a receptivity to receive a direction. So those things are many times best. In our church, okay, the way we work through some of those things, if you feel like you're getting a correction, a direction for somebody, like a very directive word, like tomorrow you're supposed to sell your house and go to here, okay? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. In our house here, submit that to the word to me or one of the elders. Why? Because we're going to be in relationship with somebody to be able to judge the word, and then together we can go and share that word with somebody, but then it's going to be in community, okay, to be able to walk that out. So how does that word hit? Does that make sense to you? Okay, in relationship, there's feedback. Because here's the thing, when you're wrong about something, it's okay in relationship to get the feedback and say, no, that didn't hit, that doesn't land, it doesn't make sense. Great, that helps me to know where I'm going in direction, right? Or if in the manner that you say it, it's offensive or kind of get somebody back on their heels, in relationship, remember, confrontation is part of the culture, means, hey, can I just share with something? The way you said that, it feels like that word is right, but the way you delivered it was really kind of off-putting, right? And it gives feedback. In prophetic ministry, we have to be responsible for the hearts of other people. Why? Because love is our highest goal. So Old Testament, the prophet would roll in, and he got the direct revelation from the Lord, and he revealed and released the direct revelation from the Lord. If it came true and the people did not obey it, they were stoned. If it did not come true, it was false prophecy, he got stoned. Okay? So it was all about punitive and specific obedience like that. In a New Testament contract, here's why. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let two or three gather and judge the prophecy, because the Holy Spirit in each of us is going to help bring another piece of the puzzle. Remember, we prophesy in part, we know in part, and prophesy the part is what it says in Corinthians. And so that means that it's necessary in the judgment of the word, especially with some of these corrective words. Now, let me give you a good example. When Papa Jack came the first time, 2000, was that 15, I guess? Because this will be his third year here, yeah. 2015, and one of our good friends who pastors up in San Marcos, they've been wanting another child. He went up to Jack and said, hey, we've been praying. Would you mind praying for us? And Papa Jack prayed for me. He says, within 30 days, you will be pregnant. That sounds like a pretty, you know, predictive word, right? And I think within day 29 or 30, one of those 2 days is when she was pregnant, okay? So when it comes to dates, mates, and things like that, you better be very specific. And that's why bringing those into relationship with leadership, we're going to help walk you through that and help walk them through that. Does that make sense? Because here's the danger in this thing. We could just think that prophetic ministry is just a bunch of fluff to make you feel good. And it's always about just to make me feel good for the moment. I matter and things like that. Yes, you matter. But when a correction or a directive comes, it needs to be done in healthy relationship and community so a mess is not made. And if a mess is made, we can clean it up together. Does that make sense? Yes, this would mean yes. Okay. If it doesn't, come speak to me afterwards. I want to make sure that I'm being clear. I'm not being combative. I just want to make sure we're clear with what's going on here. So now, next one, the gift of the words of knowledge. Here's Sean's definition. Concerns spiritual revelation by the Holy Spirit about a person's life. The information is not solely discerned, but includes specific facts that will help bring someone's heart closer to the mind of God. Words of knowledge help people feel known by God so that they will believe more deeply in the truth. A word of knowledge usually comes right before a prophecy, healing, or miracle in order to bring faith for its release. Now, let me give you an example of the way it would come in conjunction with the work of healing. A lot of times we believe that words of knowledge about healing builds faith in a room for somebody to receive their healing. And so last year during, we do this a lot, but specifically when we did Love New Braunfels last year, last March, I felt like the Lord said, we're going to go after unusual miracles, and I want you to go show some testimonies of people who had metal that was in their bodies, and through the word of knowledge, the metal was disappeared out of their body, like a surgically implanted device. Like, for example, somebody who had a rod in their wrist because they had broken their wrist, and there's a metal rod inside of their wrist. And after being prayed for, or even a lot of times just by hearing the word of knowledge, like the metal disappears and it turns into regular bone, like creative miracle type thing, okay? And so I showed a couple different testimonies of this very specifically, including one of them was a girl who had had her jaw broken pretty strongly. And she had these screws that came from the inside into the jaw to kind of hold stuff together. And as they're praying for her, the screws literally come through the gums without hurting her. Back and she spits out the screw, okay? So we showed the video. So right after that, I said, okay, now check your body. In the word, this is a word of knowledge that God wants to heal specifically metal or any surgically implanted device in the body. Once you check your body, is there anybody in here? We had three specific people who were healed that day from it. One guy specifically was in his, I guess, bones was in his 50s now, or late 40s, early 50s. And when he was 19 years old, did not know the Lord. He had come off a six-story building because he was high as a kite on drugs. And when he landed like this, and you can imagine that type of impact, how it just crushed all the bones and the shins and stuff like that. And so he had specifically this huge plate running up where the shin bone would be. And you could see, he pulled up his legs, his pant, and you could see the scars and all that stuff from it. He said, as they were praying for him, it wasn't during the word of knowledge, it was afterwards, he says, that's for me. As they prayed for him, he says, I felt heat in my leg, and then all of a sudden, which was hard as this, it was, you could push into it, the plate completely disappeared. another gal had had surgery on her toe, and the screw in that, like her toe, she could not move her toe in a specific way. And all of a sudden, that it had to been the screw disappearing, because the screw was the only thing that was keeping it from being able to move in a certain way, because it had stabilized it before, and she had full flexibility, no pain inside of it. Another gal, the next day, she had had surgery like on her pelvis, and there had been screws that had been popping out, like out of her skin, and it was hurt because it was right on her belt line, and they all completely disappeared. Why? Word of knowledge about what God wanted to do rose up faith inside of the room, and then in that, God healed them very specifically, okay? So when we're talking about words of knowledge, it may not just be about a prophetic destiny or things like that. It's to ground you into, in conjunction a lot of times with one of the other gifts, prophecy, words of wisdom sometimes, acts of miracles and things like that. It's gonna connect that into it. So be listening. And I would say this, more times than not, I will feel pain in my body that I know is not my own pain. And I've learned to trust that as a word of knowledge. And I'm telling you, probably 80% of the time that I release a word like that, like if somebody dealing with hip issues, somebody dealing with a shoulder issue, I've seen people get healed just because I felt the pain. The second I pray for somebody, guess what? The pain's all gone. All right? Why? Because it was information about what God wanted to do, and it helped bring up faith inside the room. Okay? So hearing God speak, learning to trust in the different ways that he speaks is so incredibly important. And I think that's the last part of Sean's book on that. So now, as we're talking about what we're going through, prophecy, very specifically though, remember last week we talked about the difference between a prophet and prophecy itself. And let's just give you just a quick recap. A prophet is a person who's called to specific ministry by Jesus, usually in the fivefold ministry, and it's for the equipping of the saints so that people who can't hear God, all of a sudden they can hear God at a greater level of clarity, because it's the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry in the building up of the body together. Prophecy is the gift. The prophet is the gift from Jesus to the church. Prophecy is a gift that everyone has access to who's part of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? So not every person is a prophet, like an office of prophet, because that's a specific calling and it's a specific gift that Jesus plants within the church. I would say Cindy operates a lot of that. I've got several friends who I know they are fivefold prophets, very specifically. Okay, planted, and they're the gift to the church to equip them up. But the gift of prophecy is for everyone. This is why it's so important for us to talk about this, because it's not just about the prophet on the platform who's just releasing, and that the only people who can prophesy must be the prophet because they're much more mature and they have the gift. No, their responsibility is to help you walk in the fullest of the gifts and the calling that God has for you. Okay, so we talk about this thing. So let's look at prophecy. What do I need to know about prophecy? The first one would be this. The Bible is the ultimate prophetic word given. Okay? The Bible is the ultimate prophetic word given. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay? So build up. Exhortation, which means I'm calling you closer into a relationship with him, and it brings comfort. So that might be, I have a gift of discernment that says, hey, I discern that you're going through a trial or a situation right now. Let me prophesy to you what God is doing in your life right now, and I'm going to bring you a prophetic script. I'm going to bring a scripture that's going to speak to where you're at right now. And it might be, is anybody I have here, this is my Bible verse, like this is my life verse. You might have that. I've gone through a couple different life verses. It used to be Jeremiah 29:11, and not that that doesn't apply to me anymore, but there's other scriptures that specifically that just I hold on to it, and it reminds me. It continues to prophesy to me. No, this is who you are. This is what I'm doing in your life. This is where you're going. Hold true and steadfast in that thing. When I get other prophetic words that don't match up with that, it causes me to question and wonder, because I'm going, okay, is that from God or not? Because it seems to be contradicting the scripture that I have. Because remember, God's prophetic word that's spoken will never contradict what is written in the Bible. Okay, that's why it gives a solid foundation on it. And if you think about it, I don't remember, some of you teachers might remember the number of messianic prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. I know it's in the hundreds. right? Of specific, like he had to be born of a virgin. He had to be born in this town. I mean, you're talking about like any one person to fulfill a small portion of those, the odds are astronomical. And the fact that he fulfilled all of them was astronomical. It was all prophetic words, right? Remember what Jesus says, in the scriptures, you think that you have eternal life, but they all point to me. Right, it was a prophetic word that was pointing to who he is and what he wanted to do in the earth. And so you can continue to see the way God was speaking to these people at a particular time. He was speaking to them in their time. However, because it's God-breathed, there may be a way that he wants to prophesy to you now. And so I encourage you to push into those things. I can tell you Joshua is my dude, like in the Bible. Like he's the guy that I look to, because God's told me over and over, be strong and courageous, for you will lead the people to possess the promised land. Like that's been my life verse in the last 8 years of this church. I'm just telling you, it helps me to go, wait a minute, now I'm getting off to the left or right. So it's a prophetic word. Number two, true prophecy should leave you strengthened, encouraged, or comforted. Let me hear you say strengthened. Let me hear you say encouraged or comforted. So 1 Corinthians 14, 3-4 talks about this. Now, I want to address something real quick here. Does that mean that God's never going to tell us difficult things? I like what Bill Johnson says. He says, faith does not deny the existence of a problem. But what does it do? It denies it a place of influence in my heart. So there might be discernment that discerns something is going on in culture. And Mike and I were talking about this yesterday or the day before, it was Monday, how like there was this move leading up into certain leaders that were being exposed for whether the sexual sin in government and, you know, Hollywood and things like that, even in the church. Like before that, leading up to that, there was many people that started to feel inside their spirits, like God's going to clean house, get your house in order. Like I'm going to come and clean up my house, like to clean the bride. There was a discernment that was going on. And see, here's the thing. The danger of that would be, all right, I'm looking for the people that's got all the dirt so I can just go ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta and help God clean them up. Okay? What I would propose to you is God wants to reveal, he's going to bring those things and it's going to be exposed, but he might send you to them in order to be able to say, I discern that you're going through something, but here, the Lord is calling you into a higher season of purity. Like in this beginning, how would you prophesy the solution to what's going on? That also would say too, we've seen lots of natural disasters that have taken place, and we're going to continue you to see an increase of natural disasters. The Bible specifically prophesies that in the last days there will be earthquakes and famines and all kinds of crazy stuff that's going to happen. And I remember specifically just thinking about Katrina. When Katrina came, like the amount of Christians that were saying, go get them, God. Like all that sin in New Orleans and Louisiana and all that stuff, man, they made their bed with the devil and da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay, did we forget the heart of the Father when he sent Jonah to Nineveh? Why? So that they might turn away from. Machine gunning them to death is not going to get them to turn away from it. The moment they turned away, the Lord blessed Nineveh. There was humility that came into it. And so here's what I'm saying is God doesn't send disaster to teach you a lesson. Why? Because Jesus paid it all on the cross. He doesn't need to send a disaster to make a punitive payment for people's sin. All that punitive damage was done to Jesus on the cross. Now, choices have consequences, right? If I open a door to the devil, what can I expect? Darkness, perversity, all those different things. That's going to be a natural flow of people opening up a door to the demonic. If I remember correctly in Scripture, he says, but you will cast out demons. Remember Isaiah 60, arise and shine. Why? Because your light has come upon you. Darkness will cover the earth and the people will walk in darkness, but you will be a light to them. Jesus says, you're the light to the world. Nobody has this lamp and hides it on the stand. No, you open it up so it becomes a light so that people who are in darkness can be drawn into the light. Prophetic ministry is a very important part of drawing people into their purpose. Now, do humans still have free will and choice? Yes. You could prophesy to somebody all day long, and they could go, yep, I'm comfortable with where I'm at, and they could reject it, and we honor people where they're at. I mean, it's sad, but it's not going to be that I have to curse them into the kingdom. Nobody has ever cursed into the kingdom. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're drawn into life. They're drawn in by love. Perfect love expels all fear. So I want to tell you this. There might be sometimes that are prophetic words that are given that are, they're saying, man, there's something's going to happen in our region. It's going to happen in our season, right? It doesn't give us permission to say, well, the Lord wants to bring, he wants to go up and down I-35 corridor. Like I had a vision one time of a fault line going up 35 and everything was being shaken. Like, I mean, cities and buildings and people and things like that. Let me tell you what it didn't cause me to do. I think God wants to bring an earthquake. I'll tell you what he does. I went back to the Bible, Hebrews. But we are receiving an unshakable kingdom. It says the earth will be shaken. Everything that's not kingdom will be shaken. How do I position myself now to walk in relationship with people who are being shaken and be a light of the unshakable kingdom that draws them into stability in the Lord? Does that make sense? Okay, so we don't live in denial that there's bad stuff that happens, but I'm just not going to let that influence my heart. And specifically, love is still going to be my highest goal when I'm prophesying to somebody. And love also does not turn a blind eye to stupidity either. Do you, like if somebody's continuing to be in willful sin, it doesn't mean that I go, oh, it must be okay. No, it's not okay, right? Do I love them where they're at? Yes, but it doesn't make it okay either. Like I turn them over and let them respond with what the Lord's going to do, okay? So build up, strengthen, and comfort. And specifically in Corinthians, it says it's for the building up of the what? The church. So can prophecy be used in two different ways? One, those who are already part of the church. If you're born again, say I am. Okay, so you're already part of the church. Prophecy will be used to build you up, to encourage you, strengthen you, and to comfort you, okay? Prophecy also can be used in power evangelism. Why? Because it's going to add to the church, meaning the number of people who are saved, okay? So I just have to look at somebody who's lost as somebody who just doesn't know that they're lost yet, and they're being called back home through a prophetic word. So it's still going to strengthen them. It's still going to encourage them. It's still going to comfort them and build them up because it's pointing them to who? Jesus, right? In this. So I can be comfortable in that the way the church is also built up, because remember Jesus says, I will build my church. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. What's prophetic ministry? The keys of the kingdom. How does Jesus build up the church, like add to the church? He's bringing the lost into relationship with him, and now all of a sudden our numbers are added to worldwide. So it's inside the church house and it's outside the church house that this is important for us to go. Number three, prophecy requires practice. Let me say it requires practice. Let me give you a few scriptures. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 in the NLT. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. You know what he was talking about? The gifts that you receive with the laying of hands of ministry. Give your full attention into developing the kingdom inside of you, these tools that have been given to you, so that you might go out and bring people into the kingdom. Let me give you the Message version. It says cultivate. Let me hear you say cultivate. It says cultivate these things, immerse yourself in them. The people will all see you mature right before your eyes. So what I would tell you, the only way you're going to mature in a gift is by practicing the gift. I can promise you the only way that I can play guitar as well as I do now is because I've practiced it. And if I continue to practice it, I believe I can get better and better, okay? Michael Jordan is, you know, there's different arguments, but I would say he's the greatest basketball player of all time. He didn't make his varsity team in high school. But he was known for his practice habits, right? Tim Duncan got the title by Shaq called the Big Fundamental. It wasn't flashy. What did he do? The fundamentals. I'm in the gym. I'm practicing my shot. I'm practicing my dribbling. I'm practicing my footwork. I'm practicing my lung capacity. I'm in their thing. I'm engaging it. And it developed maturity through the practice. It's no different than this when we do the spiritual gifts, okay? And it happens in relationship. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 through 22. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test, let me hear you say test, everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. So in this thing is I'm not supposed to scoff at prophecies, which means I can stifle the Holy Spirit by saying, nope, God's not still speaking. Okay, well, I'm automatically limited to him of what he wants to do in my life because I'm not going to receive anything from him. It says this, but it doesn't mean that everything is said is all from him. I think this is very important. We must teach each other, our children, how to discern and hear the voice of the Lord. Otherwise, we're opening up to every wind of doctrine, every thought that's out there. Oh, that must be of God. It must feel good because it must be it. No, it's not. Test everything, hold on to what is good, and reject or stay away from every kind of evil. 1 Corinthians 14:29, let two or three people prophesy, let the others evaluate what is said. The Greek there means to weigh the validity of the word. Weigh the validity of the word. Number four, let's give you some important guidelines for prophecy, and then we're gonna go into an activation time. We're going to give us some good time for this. It will not contradict the Bible. That's a pretty good guideline, I think, right? Don't, and this is what I'm telling you, in our context here, I'm asking you, don't give direction, judgment, scary, or correctional words. Take it to a leader. Because in relationship, we're going to walk that through and we're going to go, all right, because it may be spot on. Like you get this visual and it scares the daylights out of you because you see something. Like I'm telling you, when I saw that earthquake going up I-35, if I didn't have the level of relationship that I do, it was a scary picture. Because if you've ever seen one of those disaster movies, like you can see the people falling into, like that's what I saw. It was a scary word. If I would have just brought it to somebody and said, hey, you know, you're ministering in Austin. I just see that God's going to open up the earth and swallow your city right now. He's going to be like, who are you? Like, let's have conversation. Does that make sense? So, and I would say don't dates, mates. And like a date would be new job on Tuesday, you know, those types of things, or babies. Unless you really, really know them and you're really in relationship and the Lord is just pressing on your heart, in there, I would just be very cautious is what I'm saying. Not that God doesn't do that. He clearly does, but it must become in relationship. Ask the person, and this is one of the most important parts of our guidelines or prophetic protocol. Ask the person if they feel encouraged, built up, or comforted by your prophetic word. We like to give it, but do we like to receive back feedback on it? So I would just say, hey, it may look like this. You know, hey, Nikki, I'm still practicing at this. I felt like this, you know, like Lord said, da, 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 da. You know, how did that make you feel? Did that build you up, encourage you? What did it land? And you might go, you're way off base. Oh, thank God. Thank you for loving me enough to give me feedback and not be offended that I was wrong. Does, you know what I'm saying in that? Because what we're going to do here in a second in activation is we're going to get you in groups of four, and we're going to have each one of you at one point is going to be on the hot seat, and the other three are going to practice prophecy. It'll be words of encouragement. Lord, what are you saying about Nikki right now? How would you want to encourage her? And you might even ask the Lord this. This might be a good landing spot for you. How would you like to encourage her? How would you like to build her up? How would you like to comfort her right now? And now listen. Right, and then I feel like use words like that, and then ask for conversation. How did that make you feel? Or say, could I have said it in a different way that would have made you feel more comfortable? Right, like this has given us permission to iron sharpen iron in this process. Okay, and finally, I promised you last week I would hit on a wrong word doesn't make you a false prophet. Okay, a wrong word doesn't make you a false prophet. Let me give you an example. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. I'm just going to read a couple scriptures for you. It says, during this time, some prophets, okay, so it's very clearly, this is a New Testament prophet, okay, traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. Look what happened, though, because of the prophetic word. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. They did this, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take them to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. So in other words, this prophetic word came, and guess what the word was? It wasn't a sunshine and rainbows unicorn word, was it? There's going to be a great famine across the world, okay? Was that a negative word? No, it was a word of knowledge about what was going to happen. What the church decided to do with it is, how do we partner with the Lord to bring relief and benefit in ministry to what is coming specifically? And that's what the church did. Now, so this is Agabus. Can we all agree that Agabus is a prophet and he gave a correct prophetic word? All right? Okay, Acts chapter 21, verse 10. So remember that this is 10 chapters later, but it's going to start with several days later. This is not several days later after the previous chapter, okay? This is many, many years later. So several days later, a man named Agabus, who had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came over, took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands with it. Prophetic act, by the way. So you think is a prophetic act ever biblical? Right here, this is a prophetic act, okay? Demonstrating what was going to happen to the word. It says, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and all the local believers all begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But he said, why all this weeping? You're breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. When it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. Now, I'm going to give you the next part of context to this, okay, about we're going to test, did that word come true or not? But I want you to point to something here real quick. Paul is receiving a word of knowledge and a prophetic word about something that's going to happen. Paul recognizes that it could happen. But he had also had a prophetic word from the Lord about what he was supposed to do. Like, he knew where he was going, and so he weighed the word in conjunction with words that he'd already received, okay, so that he could walk in the wisdom and the direction that the Lord wanted to give, okay? So, still Acts chapter 21, let's go down to verse 26. It says, so Paul went to the temple the next day with the other men. They had already started their purification ritual, so he publicly announced the date when their vows would end and sacrifices would be offered for each of them. The 7 days were almost ended when some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul in the temple and roused a mob against him. They grabbed him. Kind of sounds like Agabus' words coming true, right? Verse 28, yelling, men of Israel, help us. This is the man who preaches against our people everywhere and tells everybody to disobey the Jewish laws, which Paul never did that. He speaks against the temple and even defiles the holy place by bringing in Gentiles. For earlier that day, they had seen him in the city with Trophimus, a Gentile from Ephesus, and they assumed Paul had taken him into the temple. The whole city was rocked by these accusations, and a great riot followed. Paul was grabbed and dragged out of the temple, and immediately the gates were closed behind him. As they were trying to kill him, word reached the commander of the Roman regiment that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately called out his soldiers and officers, ran down among the crowd. When the mob saw the commander and the troops coming, they stopped beating Paul. Then commander arrested him and ordered him bound with two chains. He asked the crowd who he was and what he had done. Some shouted one thing and another. Since he couldn't find out the truth in all the uproar and confusion, he ordered that Paul be taken to the fortress. As Paul reached the stairs, the mob grew so violent the soldiers had to lift him on their shoulders to protect him. Okay, so what was Agabus's prophetic word? The Jewish leaders are going to bound him and turn him over to the Gentiles, which would be the Romans. What ended up happening? The Romans came and bound him and carried him away for his own protection because they were trying to beat him. Okay? So was Agabus a false prophet? No. He got part of the word correct, that Paul was going to be bound up. But remember, we know in part and prophesy in part. This did not make Agabus a false prophet. Okay? What would make you a false prophet is the spirit by which you prophesy. Okay, the source is very, very important about that. Let me give you the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:9. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. So what should you do with the prophetic word given you? Test it. Let me hear you say test it. Does it match the Bible and God's character? Does it resonate within you? And when I say that, it's not talking about, does it make you necessarily feel good in your soul? Does it resonate within your spirit? Okay, the spirit inside of you is going to be resonating with like, yep, that's my voice. Okay, it's going to feel like even some of the tough words going like, oh gosh, but no, that resonates with me. Okay, yeah, it resonates within me. If it doesn't, it may be bad. Toss it, okay? But I told you this too. If it's very clearly it's a bad word, it doesn't land anywhere with any, don't give it a second thought. Toss it. Don't look at it again. There's sometimes, though, the word doesn't necessarily resonate with what I'm going through, but at the same time, my discernment says this is not of the devil either. This isn't just a soul thing. Put it on a shelf. Wait for it to mature. And at some point down the road, it's going to resonate inside of your heart later on. That's happened with me several different times, okay? Finally, hold on to it. Let me hear you say, hold on to it. And so it's important. Mary, she gets the prophetic word from Gabriel. You know, not only are you going to be pregnant, right? And she becomes impregnated, but she also hid his words in her heart about Jesus. She held onto those things, and I can guarantee you, she went back on a regular basis and she reviewed them as Jesus was growing up. And even when Jesus was an adult, I guarantee you that one of the ways that it helped her to walk it through is she goes back to the words when he's being beaten. But what did Gabriel tell me? Like, I've got words about my son, even when he's going through a difficulty right now. I know it's the word of the Lord, right? So you review these things, you hold on to them, you declare them, and then you ask God for more. Let me hear you say, ask God for more. All right. So what makes you a false prophet? I'm just going to read this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit, let me hear you say, every spirit who confesses, keep repeating after me, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. I don't know how to make it more simple than what Scripture already says. Okay? I'm going to read you the next part. It says, but every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. In other words, it's going to be impossible for a demonic spirit to edify Jesus for who he is. Not now, right? When Jesus walked on the earth, there were evil spirits and say, what do you want to do with this, Jesus of Nazareth? You know, they'd hiss and scream away. And he said, be silent for now because I haven't fulfilled what I'm supposed to do. Like, they know who he is. They just don't want to confess that he's the Lord. Okay, the Holy Spirit will always affirm. There's another scripture that says, no man can call Jesus accursed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so as we're testing this thing, what's the root? What's the source? Let me give you another scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. This is important. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, So he prophesies, he does a sign or wonder, and it happens, okay? So this is a legitimate sign or wonder. But look what the message comes out of the sign or wonder. Remember, the sign or the wonder is not usually the message. It's to grab your attention, to put your attention onto Jesus, okay? So look what happens. How do I test the fruit? The fruit was not the fact that the sign, miracle, or wonder took place. The fruit is, does it glorify Jesus? Look what it says here. Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. So this is the important part of it. We want you to grow into maturity, which means I'm able to discern the signs of the times. I'm able to discern what's happening before me. I don't stifle the Holy Spirit, and I don't scoff at prophecies. I would also say it means I don't scoff at signs, miracles, and wonders, okay? I don't scoff at the weird stuff. What I do is I stand and wait, is this of God or not? And as I discern inside of my spirit, and it may be the testing of, you know, is this glorifying Jesus? And I'm gonna say this very specifically. There's been some manifestations of the Spirit where I shook and I felt on fire. And somebody from the outside perspective will look at it going, I don't know how that glorifies Jesus. Okay? Let me tell you the fruit of it. I'm more in love with Jesus than I've ever been before. I have more faith and boldness inside of him than I ever had before. The fruit of it was not the shaking. Okay? The fruit of it was, now what does my life look like afterwards? Okay? So don't scoff what you don't understand. Okay? Stand in discernment, grow in maturity, so that we can be a prophetic culture now that goes outside these four walls, and we're able to prophesy to the politicians, the school districts, the different people out there, and bring the message of, it may be a word of wisdom. It might be a word of knowledge. It might be a prophetic word. Okay? It's come through this. Somebody asked me today, what's your response to what happened in Florida? One, my heart breaks for the people who lost loved ones. It's absolutely a tragedy. Number two, I think we should arm, and this is a, I don't know, this is going on. Yes, this is my political statement, whatever. I think we should arm teachers because that'll stop somebody dead in their tracks. Number three, what do we do? The church better be there. Why? Not just, oh, comfort. No, comfort that points them to Jesus, right? The shooter, if he would have had people in his life, and I'm going to say this because this is making a judgment. I need to be careful. Hopefully there would be people in somebody's life that would call them into righteousness, would not be afraid of the spirit, would see the demonic influences. He said very specifically, a demon told me who to shoot. Church, we better be ready to cast out demons, right? Call people into righteousness, right? We are the solution to the world's problems because Christ lives in us and he wants to live through us. Amen? Okay, so let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. And I just pray that you would continue to speak. I pray that as we just take these next 15 to 20 minutes, Lord God, that you would just move on people's hearts just in relationship, Lord God, just with supernatural peace, Lord God, and just the gift of revelation just to come. Lord, I pray for the spiritual gifts of words of wisdom, of words of knowledge, prophecy, discernment, working of miracles, prophesying in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, anything you want to give us, Lord God, that would increase in this place right now, and that we may be mature and grow up into a complete and competent person. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.